Here we go again. Today we'll conclude our series. We've had this will be our fourth lesson on Adam's sin, atonement, and imputed righteousness. The title of today's lesson is The Doctrine of Imputed Righteousness. We began this series, I guess it was 3 weeks ago, focusing on the holiness of God. It's our first installment in the four lessons, because God's holiness is the beginning point for understanding the gospel. Before we can understand God's salvation plan, we must first understand who God is. This, of course, raises a question. If the character of God is such that he is absolutely righteous, and if the absolute righteousness of God places a demand on his perfect justice that requires him to judge sin, how is it that fallen, sinful man can have a relationship with God? This is really the fundamental question that we've been working up to. In this context, I believe it was in our first lesson, I brought out two theological terms that we need to understand, because these terms describe God's relationship to his creation. These terms are his transcendence and his immanence. Transcendence refers to God as infinitely distant from his creation, and since he's the creator of the universe, by definition, he's greater than the universe, and therefore he's not limited or bound by it. Of course, in contrast, human beings are bound both by space and time, and we can't escape either one, but God does not share in these limitations. This led us to the unbridgeable gap that results from God's transcendence, and the question then was raised, how did God address the gap, since man can't have a relationship with a totally transcendent God? And the answer that I proposed is that God overcame this gap caused by his transcendence through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, immanence refers to God's nearness and involvement with his creation. He's present in every aspect of the world that he's made, and yet he remains distinct from it. So after discussing the doctrine of divine holiness, a lesson that focused on who God is, in lesson two we turned to the question, who is man? Specifically considering the condition of the human race after the fall of Adam, and then in this context we examined the doctrine of original sin. Both from early Genesis and then from Romans chapter 5, we concluded that in the Garden of Eden, Adam was appointed by God as the federal head of the human race. This means Adam was the legal representative of the entire human race, such that when he disobeyed the one commandment, the one law God had given him, his transgression